Chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 13 to verse 20. First Peter, chapter 2, verse 13 to verse 20. Actually, our topic kind of is on cheaters. So let me read starting from verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondslaves of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor if, for the sake of conscience toward God, a man bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. Amen. To give you a little bit of context, Peter is writing this epistle, this letter, to a region, Bithynia, and the purpose of this letter is that they were going through persecution. The timing of this letter is probably around 60 AD, and only about maybe 50 years later, the church itself in general, a campaign-wide push against Christians, one of the severest recorded in early church history, will be taking place. And so Paul is writing to a very real concern, a very real issue that Christians are being mistreated by authorities. Or did I say Paul? Peter, right? Is that what I'm saying? Okay. So Peter. And so one of the points that he draws out is that, look, if you're going to get persecuted, be persecuted for being Christian. Don't be persecuted for evil doing. Now, I myself have done this, and I know people who've done this, and it's probably easier to catch in other people than yourself. But if you break the law, if you're speeding and get into a car accident and you accidentally hurt someone and you end up being in prison for 30 days, you can't be there in prison holding bars and saying, oh, I'm suffering for Jesus, right? I'm being persecuted unjustly. No, you got what you deserved, right? And a lot of times we do that. Like, we go through some turmoil or some situation and we don't properly, evaluate our role in the situation, and the easy thing to do is say, oh, I'm just suffering. God has called me into a season of suffering, so I have to endure it for his namesake. But that's totally different from something that you've brought upon yourself, right? I had a friend in high school, and he would keep saying these words, I've just been called to suffer. I'm just in a season of suffering. And it's so obvious that he was putting himself in these situations. And so a total differentiation. And so Peter is really calling in this situation, look, servants, slaves, if your boss or if your authorities or the people above you are treating you unfairly, then take it as Christians. Bear it. And the appeal that he's making is that this is what Christ did for us, that he suffered unjustly, and that he endured it. Now here's the key thing. Before I get to that, now, you can come up with, 101 reasons why I shouldn't listen to my boss, right? You can come up with 101 reasons why this particular ordinance or this particular law in Hong Kong or whatnot is something that I don't agree with. Therefore, I'm not going to obey it. I was in college. I was probably just in the first year of doing children's ministry. As I was doing intern children's ministry for my church, I was third year in college. And, I had complaints that, my school is so expensive or whatnot. They're trying to rip us off, in every situation, in the cafeteria, bookstores. And so I had this kind of like angst against it. And so there's a particular restaurant in the cafeteria at my university that I always went to. And it was almost like, okay, well, this was the last straw. You know, on one day, they started charging for extra potato salad, right? And so I would always get the same meal, and I already thought it was too expensive for a university. They're kind of exploiting us. There's not, you know, a lot of places for us to go, so they can charge anything they want. And then on top of that, of all these complaints, all of a sudden, they started charging 25 cents extra for extra potato salad. And man, that, I got so upset. And so I went and this is what they would do. I said, can I have extra potato salad? And they go, okay. They'd give like, you know, a little portion, and then they put an extra toothpick. And I was like, what's the extra toothpick for? Right? And so then I'd go pay for it. And then the next day I'd do it again, next day, and I caught on. Oh, the extra toothpick is so that the cashier can know that I've got extra potato salad, and so they're going to charge 25 cents. And that made me more angry. And so this it was only maybe the second or third time. And so I started taking off that toothpick, right? 25 cents. I was like, I'm not paying this university one extra cent. And I took it and I broke it, right? And then I threw it away, right? And then I paid. I was like, 25 cents, come on, man. This university is charging me, you know, whatnot. And then about the third time, a friend of mine who was with my, you know, who was in the campus college fellowship with me, and he knew that I was beginning, you know, interning as a children's pastor. And, you know, it was just routine now, right? I just took it, you know, extra potato salad, please, a toothpick, and then I walked down a little bit, and I break it, and then I go to the cashier, and then my friend saw this, right? So we're sitting, and he goes, and obviously I knew something was wrong. He's like, Sam, you know, I think people in ministry should really be above reproach. I was like, reproach? It's like, it's the first time I heard that word, right? So I'm thinking, I was like, oh, what should I do, you know? It's like, oh, you want some potato salad? Right? Invite him into the sin, right? Then we're, you know, we're together. But it really sunk in. I was like, wow, you know, as a leader, he's right. And so I had this angst against this authority or the greater powers that are and whatnot, and I took matters into my own hands. You know, I basically took control of the situation and made it how I made it wanted it to be. And essentially, you know, in verses 21 to 22, 23 that we didn't read, in verse 23 he says, and while being reviled, this is talking about Christ, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And this is the key for each of us in any situation where you feel like I'm going to take matters into my own hands, where you feel like the powers that be are exploiting and unjustly treating, whether it's my boss. And, you know, an application here, just to make it simple, yes, you do have to listen to your boss, right? Even if he treats you unjustly, right? Even if he's unfairly, even if he's breaking the law. I mean, as long as it's not causing you to break the law. But you do have to listen to your boss. And essentially, in those moments where you feel like, well, I'm going to take control, I'm going to take matters in my own hands, I'm going to make things right, and you begin to bend, you know, rules, and you begin to go outside of the parameters, essentially you're saying that I don't fully trust God in this situation. That in this very moment, I'm taking matters into my own hands. I've essentially, for whatever reasons, in this very second, I don't believe in the power of God to perform or to deliver or to make right what is wrong. And essentially, as Christians, you know, I mean, that's what we're called to. In verse 21 that we also didn't read, I should read it now. For you have been called for this purpose. He's talking for this purpose, and he's referring to suffering, right? And so, you know, we have to remind ourselves of the notion that as Christians, yeah, bad things happen, right? You know, wherever this idea came that once you gave your life to Christ, that everything would be perfect, right? That everything would come in order, that everyone in your family is going to get saved, that, you know, everything's going to be happy, you know, no more sickness, no more disease. That's a lie, right? It's a lie of the enemy, right? To tell you that everything's going to be perfect, and then that when they come, you get disappointed, and then you start questioning God. It's saying here in verse 24, you have been called for this purpose. God is saying you will, as Christians, we will suffer. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Now, this is huge in the context of what the church, what these particular believers are going through right now. But even in their suffering, in Bithynia or whatnot, 30 or 40 years later, a huge persecution is coming. Now imagine in the context of Israel when they were being enslaved by Egypt. Sure enough, man, unjust treatment. Unrighteous, right? I mean, you know, putting on a burden or a load already that was unbearable and adding to that. And what was their heart, right? Did they come together and make a plan and revolt against the government? No, they did their job. They did what they were supposed to do, but they prayed. Right? Israel prayed day and night. Mother, children, you know, fathers, elderly prayed day and night, and those prayers reached the heart of God. Right? And so the idea that we don't take it so much and force it, you know, judgment or righteousness, but that God is the enforcer. That God is the one that repays evil. And so, you know, even in the smallest applications, right? It doesn't have to be some huge law-breaking incident. You know, if you know a taxi driver treats you unfairly or gives you attitude, right? Easy thing to do is give attitude right back. But, you know, it's a struggle of mine when I was in Beijing. It's a struggle of mine that I have even here now in Hong Kong. Sometimes if I feel unjustly or if a taxi driver in particular says something or does something or whatnot, has a certain attitude, then I want to like, you know, return this negative energy back towards him. But it's been a practice of mine. You know, I just, you know, Pastor Sam said this before. I just, in a negative situation, I just start worshiping, right? I just say, Lord, bless this guy. You know, or Lord, get this guy, right? In your own timing, right? Or bless and get, okay? But anyways, let's bow our heads this morning. Right? Now, a lot of us, we've been in situations and man, it just seems impossible, right? Impossible to endure. God, this is so unfair. No way. This person can't get away with this. And obviously there are proper channels, you know, when it's, you know, blatantly against the law and whatnot, you know, proper communication channels, whatnot, whether, you know, supervisors or seniors above you that you can form and whatnot. But sometimes maybe you've gone through those channels, right? You've gone through the proper means. You've communicated the fault. And seemingly no justice is coming your way. Right? You know, petitions, appeals, and your sense of justice hasn't been appeased. And a couple things going on there is one, you know, well, what is your sense of justice? You know, is it God-centered? And then two, can you let it go? Can you entrust it to God? Right there, I mean, come on, we're all going to go through unfair dealings in business, in relationships. And trust me, God's righteousness is infinitely greater than our sense of righteousness, to the point that a perfect, flawless Son, Christ, would come and die on the sin, on the cross for our sins. All right, think about that. And in our flesh, you know, I'll tell you straight up, it's impossible. Sometimes it's impossible to let go. But in Christ, it's possible because we have the perfect example of one who went unjustly without ranting. And man, Christ, he totally trusted God, right? He totally trusted his Father. And man, above and beyond, he died, he resurrected, and we are the fruits of his suffering and his righteousness. All right? We sit here today and we claim that same righteousness and we claim that same hope. Right, so just a couple thoughts to meditate on, right? You know, yes, good things happen to faithful Christians, or bad things happen to faithful Christians, right? We are called to suffer, right? We are called to obey our authorities. You know, if we're going to suffer, we're to suffer as Christians, not to suffer for our own wrongdoings, right? So you got to catch that. And lastly, you know, live above reproach. Right? Don't give people reason to point down on you. And don't give people reason to knock down the cross. Okay, so spend some time in meditation as Chelsea leads us in a song. Our first prayer point this morning, let's just spend some time, and if there's some places where we need to do some entrusting, right, some places where you've really pushed or pressed your hand, and maybe God's calling you to let it go, maybe he's calling you to leave it to him, to believe in his righteousness, to believe in his vindication, right? And if you know a friend or a family member who's been treated unjustly, unfairly, and you know, they were living in the faith, you know, they've done everything well as to their knowledge, and just pray, right? Pray that they'd also be able to let it go and to really trust in God. And it's really hard at the core of it, really, when it boils down to it, do you believe in God? Right? Do you believe in the power of Christ's death and resurrection, that he's able to reconcile and redeem in his time? And that's what it comes down to at the very heart of it. Okay, so let's pray for each other, pray for ourselves, pray for those in these situations. And, you know, we know people who have, you know, gone legal lengths, right, and still haven't received justice, rightfully so. You know, but we worship an almighty God, and he serves justice and righteousness just right. So let's just pray and cover these people, cover ourselves. Let's pray. Pray for our ministries this weekend. We have our youth group and Pastor Nate and Ed and Sean McFarland, they're going to a Gateway camp. You guys remember Dale Kaufman, who came a couple weeks ago? And so they're going to a camp this weekend. I think it's a pretty big deal. A lot of kids coming. So let's just pray covering over them. Let's pray also covering for our IP ministry that meets this Saturday. We have a missions training for the India, Cambodia, Indonesia teams from 1 to 4. Pray blessing over Becky, who's going to be leading that session. Pray over our Sunday service. I'm going to be leading and teaching in both services this Sunday. So if you just pray covering over myself. Our Sunday school ministries, our teachers, we're going through a bit of transition, adding a class, changing a little bit of structure. Pray for a Cascade that meets on Monday for the intercessors and the ministry there. So let's just cover that, you know, every place that God's people come together, that His presence would dwell there, and that amazing things would happen in the heart, and just that we would experience and know God, and people would come, and just their faith would be increased. So let's just pray covering over our ministries this weekend. Lastly, let's just pray for covering and provision over our building search. Pray for those who are in charge. Pray for Janice. She has a great deal of responsibility, and she also just started work a couple weeks ago. Just pray covering over her and the building search committee and the finance committee and all that. Just pray God's favor. You know, we're going to do our part, prayerfully, faithfully. So just pray for His blessing over us. Let's pray. Father, God, we thank You for this morning. God, we thank You for the reminder that we are called to suffer, that as believers, people will take advantage, will exploit. But God, give us a God-centered idea of righteousness, Lord, one that submits to You. God, one that prays fervently, God, one that lives out in righteousness, Lord God, so that people wouldn't have a cause to speak out against. But God, we do fail. God, we do struggle. And God, we do ask for Your mercy. And that, God, that as we experience Your forgiveness and mercy in the things that we struggle in, Lord, that we would in turn be able to dish out and share and be gracious and loving and forgiving to others. And God, we thank You, Lord, that Lord, that You made everything wrong, You made it right in Christ. And we thank You that in this hope, Lord, that we can walk out today into our workplaces, into our families, and God, just have faith in that, Lord, and to live out in that. Lord, we thank You, Lord. Bless each one of us, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful day today.